Hello and welcome to Buena Vista. This is a bonus episode. I am Ben and I am here in the Netherlands, living a life more or less indistinguishable from any other life lived in a modern Western nation. I work, I tend to my home, I spend time with my friends and family, and of course, I do this all in blackface. But I don't do this alone. Working as a project manager at a civil engineering firm while spending his spare time working on becoming a luthier, it's Andrew, who is in blackface.
Hello. Oh, I got up bright and early to grind my ashes. I'm doing a like traditional blackface method.
Yeah, you know, like, reckon guys, that's the OG method of doing blackface?
Ashes?
Yeah. You guys need to watch the Spike Lee joint Bamboozled.
Noted.
Okay.
Watch it one time and then get upset and don't watch it again. Sure. I actually do need to watch it again because it's an amazing movie.
I don't think this is the first time you've made this recommendation on this podcast, and yet none of us have watched it yet.
And yet none of you have watched it and learned some good old blackface history, which I have put to stellar work today. I've put it on thick. I put it on thick because apart from anything else, it's like SPF 10,000.
So you're saying it's practical?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So blackface is bad, but it avoids a lot of people getting sunburnt. So who's to say if it's real bad?
Blackface is bad, but keeping my pale skin out of the sun. Very good.
There are millions of other people here in the Netherlands also living their lives, owning and operating a small hole-in-the-wall cafe in a laneway, all the while in blackface. It's Theo. Hey, Theo.
Hey. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good. How are you going?
I'm good. I do operate this cafe sort of day-to-day during the sort of Tuesday through Sunday kind of cafe days.
Monday is for you.
Monday's for me, and I've kind of got... Yes, to me it's fun. Others sort of see it as a bit of a Sisyphean task, but what I do is I take the largest cheese wheel I can and I roll it all the way up a hill. And then when I get to the top, I lose my grip on it. And it sort of lazily rolls all the way down.
So I'm sorry, when you said sort of Sisyphean.
Very explicitly.
I think that's Sisyphean-ish.
If Sisyphean-ish, I don't believe that in the Bible or wherever that's from.
The Book of Sisyphus.
Yeah. He was doing it with a cheese wheel that was sort of in the Dutch translation.
What have we got that's big around? We don't have rocks. We have a cheese.
Hey, while we're here, can I get an Americano and a tin of that artisanal shoe polish that you have on the counter there?
No worries at all. Would you like a can of fish that I'm legally not allowed to open?
Sure. I see from the sign up on the wall that you have to take your roll mops outside and put them into your own coffee.
While I'm here, can I interest you in a clog full of drugs?
Ooh. Just another beautiful day in the Netherlands.
Lastly, slaving away in the racism department at Efteling HQ, it's Lucy. Lucy is in blackface as well.
You didn't really have to clarify that, but I would like to mention, just for the record, that I am also a huge pervert.
Oh, sorry, that was implied. I thought when I said Netherlands at the start that would just be...
All right, just making sure we have all our bases covered.
Every really single one of you is a sexual deviant in a way that no one could possibly find attractive.
Yes.
But if we're all deviants, doesn't that make us normal?
No, everyone's
and in
different.
In fact, normal people.
No, not at all. You're all deviants in unique ways that are all equally disgusting.
I'm a peeping Tom myself.
Some people like the scat. Some like the piss.
There are the two sexual preferences.
Mm-hmm. Some they like the scat. Some they like the piss. And that's like, sex, basically.
That's sex.
Yeah. The dicken and the titten. You know?
Oh, my fucking God.
I believe that the blackface is actually part of the dress code in the racism department.
Yeah, it's mandatory. So. But, I mean, it's like one of those things where you're like, wearing pants to work is mandatory, but you don't have to tell anyone to do it. You just sort of know to do it.
It's just implied, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really irresponsible when you see a woman driving a car and she's putting her blackface on in the rear vision mirror.
That's actually quite sexist of you to observe. It takes a lot more time for women to put on blackface because of the scrutiny that they face in the workplace based on their appearance.
I gotta work it all through my beard, though.
That's true. That is difficult. It's hard to get down to the skin there.
Exactly.
That sounds tough, yeah.
Exactly. It is tough. You can't have a beard that's a different color to the blackface. Come on. Grow up. You know?
I don't know who that could have possibly been directed to.
So, here we are back at Efteling, which I feel like that was really a journey for us last week, you know?
Mm-mm.
We did have quite a few people contact us and say, I went there as a child and it was great / insane. several people said, I went to a European theme park as a child and I believe that it is the cause of several of my neuroses. And we have some follow-ups for you on this bonus episode. This is one that I saw a video of and I just kind of lost it watching this video, because it wasn't like a news article about it or anything. It was a video like from Efteling, from the theme park, that was just like, look at this nice bit of the theme park. And it was presented, you know, just with a bit of ambient background music and long shots of pigeons. So this is from an article in the NL Times. No idea what that could stand for.
The New York Times. That's right.
June of 2018, the long distant past of 2018.
Vague memory.
Efteling gives in to animal lovers. No more dyed pigeons. Amusement park Efteling announced that it will no longer dye white pigeons different colors for fairy tale attraction, The Bridal Dress of Genoveva.
I love how begrudging this is.
Like, fine. You stop got dying us. Pigeons.
If that's what you want, we will leave our pigeons alone.
If you insist. Dying the pigeons no longer fits the times, the park concluded after years of social media calls from animal lovers and activists to stop this practice. Omroep Brabant reports.
I just want to stress again that this time that it no longer fits is June of 2018.
It's ancient history,
2017,
baby.
Not a problem.
You could travel to other countries back then.
I just want to know about the mechanics of this so bad. Is there like a bunch of people in charge of like chasing after the pigeons and herding them so that they can dip them into dye?
Mm. Welcome to the pigeon dyeing department.
You're going to need to run very fast.
Day one, catching the pigeon. So, this is what fucking ruined me watching this video, right? Is that these pigeons are head to toe very thoroughly dyed. You ever see when somebody like does a post on social media where they're like, oh, I had like hair dye left over and I tried to dye like my cat or my dog's hair? And it's almost like, you know, there's kind of a stripe down the back of them and a bit of tint. But it's not like, it doesn't look like anybody sort of submerged the animal Terminator 2 style into like an entire vat of the dye.
I did as a teenager who dyed my hair bright green, I did dye some of my dog Odie.
Some of your dog, number
as
one.
As in a little white patch on his back, you know?
What did you say the name of the dog was?
Odie.
Okay. The real Garfield head here.
That's right.
So, yeah, this is the thing though. Like, you did a little bit and then the dog was like, hey, what are you doing? And left the room or whatever. Like,
yeah, and let the manic panic die soak in for half an hour.
Oh boy. Normal stuff. Not like these pigeons that all looked like they had fallen into the vat at Ace Chemicals that turned the Joker, his magical color. They look like somebody has like held them in a bucket of dye for a three count.
Oh, it's so awful.
It's very awful, but my goodness, do they get some vivid colors.
I'm sure they do.
Ever since The Bridal Dress of Genoveva opened in 1957, this article continues, Efteling has dyed the white pigeons in the fairy tale forest blue, pink, and green using a special paint.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Is it fabric dye?
Something enamel based.
It's 100% toxic. That's my belief. It's just
yeah, certainly.
They're all like weigh 600 grams more now. Now visitors will encounter the pigeons in their natural white state. Animal welfare has received even more attention in society over the past years, and also at Efteling, the amusement park said, according to the broadcaster. Efteling wants to move with the time. In addition, the colors of the pigeons do not match the natural character.
You don't say.
Having fucking bright pink pigeons didn't, like, go with your forest vibe.
Yeah, you mean there's something a little off about the green pigeons you have created?
It's just not fitting the aesthetic that Efteling's going for in 2018.
The park stressed that the paint has always been environmentally friendly. Yeah, when these pigeons die 3 years early, they're completely biodegradable. My goodness. We have renovated the turret that belongs to the fairy tale, so this was a natural moment to stop dying. An Efteling spokesperson added.
Well, they're just stressing that we're doing this because it would look like shit if we kept doing this.
Yeah, they don't care. They're just like, people care about animal welfare now, so.
If we weren't doing renovations, we would be dying the shit out of these pigeons. Apparently, the change will not affect the fairy tale. In the story about a princess who wants a multicolored wedding dress, the pigeons start out white, only getting their different colors in the end. So we will merely tell the visitors, oh, don't worry, you are at like, you are one third of the way through the fairy tale.
They're actually just hunting them all down and putting them in tiny little wedding dresses now.
Oh, just in case all your visitors that are turning up absolutely aghast at the, like, vanilla pigeons walking around. My God. Here's another one. From our friends again at DutchNews.nl. Back in January 2019, Efteling Amusement Park to update characters criticized for racist stereotyping. Now again, Ben, where's the far distant past that we're talking about here?
This is, of course, January 2019. Who could even remember what life was like back then?
Crazy.
People communicated through grunts. We all passed on our tails through cave paintings.
It's still okay to call your dog the N-word.
The Netherlands' most popular amusement park said on Wednesday it is to overhaul the appearance of some of its controversial African and Asian characters to, quote, better fit in with today's standards.
And today, of course, just to hammer this point home, is January of 2019.
The far-flung past. Ancient history. Yeah, I started looking at like various things about Efteling after we did this piece. And I was looking at how they have like various lands in Efteling, right? Mm. You know how like at Disneyland, which we were talking about, they have like Toontown and Adventure Mountain and...
Can I take a guess at there being a Chinatown?
Oh, boy. So it's fantasy themed, right?
Right.
So we all get fantasies.
Oh, Hans Christian Andersen vibes, yes.
And I'm looking... They've got like... a bunch of different lands that are informed by different kinds of places. So they have like they have one that's like fantasy land, and then they have one that's like 1920s Germany. Oh no, I'm confusing this with Fantasia Land, the German theme park that I started reading about. That one also has Africa land and Chinatown land.
Right. Oh, no. And then I showed you the German ride that was in the shape of a swastika.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's just a lot going on out there in Europe.
So, they had like fantasy land and a bunch of different other ones. Then they had one that was based in the fantasy land of Africa, the Chinese ones. and none of this is good is what I'm getting at.
I think.
And for some reason, they had like fantasy Berlin land set in 1920s Berlin.
Cool.
That
cool
magical
stuff.
Time.
Which we would all love to travel
Can't
back
believe
to.
You would slander Efteling by implying that it would be as racist as those parks.
As Fantasia Land. I'm so sorry.
Strolling through and having some park attendant be like, welcome to Economic Sanctions, the ride.
So, look, I do want to issue a formal apology on behalf of the podcast to Efteling for suggesting that they could be as racist as the Africa Land from Fantasia Land in Germany.
Right.
Now I'm going to take a big sip of my drink and continue reading this article. The Efteling's Carnival Festival Fairground Ride is to close for a three-month period for a technical update and will take the opportunity to revamp animatronics criticized for yellow face and black face stereotypes. This means the African figures will lose their nose rings.
Oh, it's problem solved.
And be dressed in traditional African costumes, while the Asian dolls will be given more natural eyes and teeth.
Oh,
you know what they mean.
You can picture it.
It's so bad. It's absolutely some 1950s Disney cartoon type shit, isn't it?
Oh, goodness.
We are always looking for like different movies to show our kids, and so we got the whole raft of like Disney movies, and then you show them something like Peter Pan, and halfway through you're like, oh boy.
No.
Even Fantasia. Like, Fantasia with the Sorcerer's Apprentice and stuff in it. It's got all the very, all the really racist mushrooms.
Are there racist mushrooms in Fantasia?
I do not recall the racist mushrooms.
They are extremely Asian mushrooms.
Okay.
Much in the style of what we're talking about here. The Carnival Festival attraction is based on a voyage around the world and has often drawn criticism. International visitors who had, quote, not grown up with the attraction were particularly vocal, spokesman Femke Van Ees told NOS.
It seems kind of like the problem is you. Oh, you didn't grow up with the yellow face ride.
It's just our culture here in...
Have you ever tried talking to like a Dutch person about Black Peters?
I try not to talk to Dutch
not
people.
Personally, yeah, I try to avoid them in general.
Are we all familiar with Black Peters?
Yes, the Blackface Festival, the running of the Blackface that they do.
this is their whole like Christmas deal where they have Santa Claus, and then he has a whole bunch of like servants who make all of his stuff for him, somewhat like the elves that you and I used to, except
Pete, or however you say his name.
Black Peters, except that they're all black guys who simply love working for Santa for no money. Not great. And so to do these parts in like Christmas celebrations, people just go, oh, Black Peter, time to black up for Christmas. And if you ask people about it, they're just like, no, you don't understand. They like working for Santa. And that's why it's cool.
It's our culture.
You simply didn't grow up with Blackface Christmas. The attraction is due for a technical overhaul. And this has provided the right opportunity to rethink the African and Asian scenes, this lady said. The total renovation project will cost an estimated 3 million euros.
So again, I'm enjoying the concept that they haven't been able to change this until doing an overhaul of the thing.
Something else was happening first.
Removing the huge racist buck teeth on the Asian dolls would be kind of like changing the engine in a car while it's still driving. It's just technically not feasible.
We can't do it
until we shut the whole thing down and rethink it. It's sort of the linchpin that ties the whole ride together. So,
changing all the big buck teeth. Like, if we just did it by itself, then what positive thing would be happening as a result?
And it wouldn't fit aesthetically with what we're going for. So, really need a whole holistic approach to changing the dolls, which we think are fine, but you guys seem to have some
sort of pissy problem
with.
I mean, you guys didn't grow up with it.
No.
No plans have yet been made to update the Monsieur Cannibal attraction, in which visitors sit in a cooking pot presided over by a so-called cannibal in stereotypical garb.
What I really like about this story is that, because, you know, the article we read from was, I think, from 2014. So it's like, oh, this update, they're finally addressing the racist things, except the racist things they're addressing were things we didn't talk about at all, and the one very racist thing we did talk about is the one they're not changing.
Oh, no. So, wait. So, this article is from January 2019.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No plans have been made to update Monsieur Cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
This attraction is 31 years old. That is not old enough.
No, that is...
That's not old enough. Like, when you think of the old racist Disney stuff, when you think of stuff from, like...
You mean it's not old enough to have been that racist in the first place?
Yeah.
You mean from the fact that this is from, like, 1988?
Yeah, right.
The most racist year?
So, it's a small world, by example, which has more, like, stereotypes in it, or did originally. They started that up in 1965. This is from 1989.
Europe's on this whole other timeline of racism, though.
Parallel racism timeline. My goodness. Wow. This attraction is 31 years old, and when it comes up for a refit, adaptions to the character will certainly be considered, they said.
Great.
Look, we'll think about it. If we get to changing out the teeth, that's fine. It's a nice to have. It's a stretch goal. The teeth, stretch goal.
For the record, those Fantasia mushrooms, no good.
No? You're just checking them out for the
first
time?
Don't like what I'm seeing.
It's in the scene where all the plants and the mushrooms and the hippos and everything all kind of dance together in Fantasia, but they shuffle around in a way that is very clearly meant to be like somebody in a kimono type thing with their hands together in front of them shuffling, and they're bowing the whole time.
Would you look at that?
Yeah. Oof. It's not good.
Yeah. It's not good. But hear me out here. Fantasia, 1940.
Sure. Yeah.
Monsieur Cannibal, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they pull all the blackface out of Tintin?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to assume 1 or 2 years ago.
Ben, do you want to take it from here?
I absolutely would. So, as I am wont to do, I love to harvest content from reviews of places that we talk about.
Wiping his brow with a rag, sticking it back into the back pocket of his overalls.
It is such good content, though.
I'm slamming a hoe directly into my laptop to farm all this content, freeing me from this horrible curse. The sort of people that write reviews are either very conscientious nerds who are genuinely trying to make, you know, like, things more accessible to other people, telling them what the experience is going to be like, what to expect, whatever. Or they're people that are completely unhinged.
You ever see those people who write reviews of, like, absolutely everything?
Mm. Yes, it's very strange. When you click on, like, someone's Google Maps reviews of things, and then it's just like, I was at a rest stop by the side of the M3.
Yeah,
it was
pretty good. I was looking for, a review of a restaurant near where we lived when we lived in Coburg in Melbourne. And some reviews, I clicked on this guy's name on Yelp, and he has just reviewed everything in Coburg, but he had reviewed the Yarra Trail. I walked on this bit of trail and it was fine, I guess. all the sort of stuff you're talking about, rest stops and everything. He had reviewed a local jeweler's and he was like,
what are you That's very strange.
So he's like, they were able to resize this bracelet to make it smaller to fit my girlfriend's slender wrist.
I love the really personalized reviews. Yeah. Me and my wife went here and we had a lovely time.
So I start combing through them and I'm like, this guy will take any opportunity to mention that he has a girlfriend. And boy, are her wrists slender.
I found that the English reviews for Efteling were universally about two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is the enormous wait times. You know, you're waiting 40 to 50 minutes for a ride most times. No. That's what all the complaints are.
My nightmare.
And then there's one other extremely popular kind of review that is typified by the one I'm about to read you. So this one is from September of 2010, a little while ago, but this is not a problem that has gone away, and these reviews still happen very often. So this is from TripAdvisor user Tulip Hilversum. Efteling is a very dangerous place for children. We have to survive a lot of cigarette smoke during visiting Efteling. We visited with children of 5 and 2 years old. I thought Efteling is also for children, but my understanding was wrong. You can smoke everywhere! 3 exclamation marks. Efteling should make smoking areas! 3 exclamation marks. People carry a lighted cigar, so my 2-year-old son almost got hit by burning cigarettes several times.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
We lined up for attractions, and people before us started to smoke. We couldn't move anywhere, so we had to put up with horrible smoke. We enjoyed lunch outside, and people next to us started to smoke, so we had to move inside. From attractions, boats, trains, etc., people throw a burning cigarette.
Oh, God.
For safety of my children, I never come back until Efteling becomes smoke-free.
Oh, that fucking rules.
Oh, how Parisian, you know?
Yeah.
It's just...
they're on a completely different timeline, like Lucy said. That's, yeah. Wow. A
completely different world, Europe.
It's just the 1970s in Europe right now. You know?
Always. And it will be forever. So, this is not... the only theme park in the Netherlands. There is another one, which I don't even know how to get into this, but it is like cowboys and Indians themed, like American cowboys and Indians.
Oh, boy.
So, you know how sensitive that depiction is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't... There was no way to boil this down, so instead, I'm going to focus on... one small section of the Wikipedia entry for the Dutch theme park, Attractiepark Slageren.
Oh, that's a good name.
This is the 1960s portion of the history of this theme park.
Attractiepark.
In 1963, a shopkeeper named Henk Bemboom built some vacation homes on a piece of farmland around an old farmhouse in Slageren. As an extra attraction, he offered every vacation home a Shetland pony and a small carriage.
Huh?
During Pentecost, the holiday park opened with 24 homes. During this time, Shetland ponies were a rare sight in the Netherlands. Because of this, the park gained a lot of attention. The following year, the amount of homes doubled. So this guy put some houses in a field and then said, if you come and stay in one of these houses, I will give you a pony.
You can't even ride a Shetland pony. They're so small.
But he's also giving them a carriage. So I guess maybe it's towing like a child-sized carriage.
Trying to cram the whole family in there. Like how big of
a carriage can a Shetland pony carry?
It can't be a big one. In addition to this, the same year, a large outside swimming pool, a playground, and a sand pit were added. It's a great theme park so far.
What's going on?
During 1965, development started on the amusement park. For the enjoyment of the park's guests, fairground rides were placed in the park.
As good a place as any.
Good call. A theatre with a water organ and distorting mirrors were added. The holiday park was expanded to 100 homes.
Okay.
Is it a water organ?
Yes, a water organ.
That's what I call it when I piss.
That's weird.
Your penis is your water organ.
In 1966, Sulky was added.
Sulky!
Okay. In addition to a pony track, a bowling alley, and a diorama.
Pardon? Does this mean something else? Like, is it like a diorama?
Come to the land of your dreams and do bowling.
Look at the diorama.
We have small horse. Sulky.
Come play in the sand pit.
Dear water organ.
In 1968, a dark ride opened named Nautilus. This has now been broken down.
And so in the article, they have capital D for dark.
Yes.
A dark ride.
The Netflix German science fiction series, Dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the name of this is really getting me.
Uh-huh. Okay, so...
capital D. I thought it was maybe a ride that you could go on that's themed after the 1990 Sam Raimi film, Darkman.
Sure, Andrew.
Now, if you don't speak Dutch, you might have a hard time figuring out what the name of this ride means, but have a guess at it. When it first opened, the ride was named Underwater World.
Underwater World.
Yes, Underwater World. Underwater World.
Hold on.
Every word in Dutch is so long. It's too many letters.
I really like they've added an extra E
just
into
that
world.
Extra, making sure you're really overpronouncing the R in there.
Can I have a go? Underwater World.
Please be welcome to Underwater World.
I really hope that that was what was on the Dutch poster for Waterworld.
Waterworld?
Waterworld.
This served as the third large attraction in the park. The holiday park also expanded further. In 1967, it already contained 160 homes. In 1969, bumper cars and a Calypso were added.
Ooh, this is very retro, very Americana. I love
it. This ride was broken down in 2013.
Oh.
And that's the history of the 1960s part of Attractive Park Slagren.
Attractive Park Slagren.
We also had, I think I'm going to delve into this later because it seemed like it was going to be a whole lot of work, but we had someone in the at replies of the podcast Twitter account mentioning that Erich von Däniken opened a theme park in Germany that closed about 20 years ago, so not everyone might be as familiar with the glut of 1970s, 1980s UFO books. As I am, maybe he's the guy who wrote Chariots of the Gods. He's sort of like one of the very early Ancient Aliens guys, and he just churned out these books constantly. And then he decided to somehow convince people to bankroll a theme park devoted to Ancient Aliens, but with rides, really. Like, you just walked into these various rooms, and it was like, and this is the type of alien that built the pyramids. And yeah, it was not successful, it turns out. It was very unsuccessful. But it's still there. The building is still there. Got a big geodesic dome on top of it and stuff. It's very weird.
Just trying to figure out if it did actually get released as Waterworld in the Netherlands.
No, I was trying to search for that too. No,
I don't think they actually are going to get the movie for another 10 years. So we'll see what it's released as when that happens.
I did just find out that apparently Joss Whedon did last-minute rewrites of the script of Waterworld.
Wow.
Amazing stuff.
Waterworld is cancelled, sis.
I mean, I think that movie is quite cancelable, largely because they, like, actively tortured every single person working on that movie that wasn't Kevin Costner. They were, like, all fucking without water and food and dying of heat stroke because of the conditions they were working in.
Wasn't really a water world for them then, was it?
That's so true.
Whatever. They should have simply evolved to have some drills. Oh, boy. Well, from a world of water to the world of nature.
And also of water still.
Yeah, it's...
Huh? Sorry?
You can just play the theme. It's okay.
Yep, go ahead. Country roads, take me home to the place.
Nature Corner, rubber crab, sit my dick. Nature Corner, baby. This is from CBS Boston. In a headline that is very funny to me.
It's the perfect headline.
Wareheim residents asked to stop calling police for sunfish sightings. Quote, it is doing normal sunfish activities.
It's
picturing this really tired new police recruit, like, please, ma'am, it is doing normal sunfish activities.
It is simply existing as a sunfish.
What do sunfish do apart from vibe?
Checkers.
I think they just wash up on beaches and alarm people.
And occasionally get their brain eaten by a seal.
Oh, yeah. That one was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd feel good. Getting your brain eaten by a big seal.
Yep.
Wareheim residents are being asked to stop calling police if they see an odd-looking fish in Broad Cove. The town's Department of Natural Resources said Monday it's aware that there's a sunfish in the area, but there's no cause for concern.
Why are people calling the police on a fish?
Is he... All right, I'm looking at a sunfish, and he looks fucking cool as shit. Like, he's awesome.
They're just a big sideways fish, aren't they?
They're just really large.
So fucking big, though. Like, they're so big.
He's
like,
enormous.
They're ridiculous. And they weigh... like, they're bony fish, right? So they weigh, like, a fucking ton. Like, literally, they weigh a ton. They're a very silly fish.
Are you implying that people are seeing this fish and going, holy shit, that is a big fish?
911.
Should we call the police?
Do we need to call the police?
Someone needs to shoot this fish.
Police. This fish is too big.
This fish is much larger than normal.
Is there something we can do about this?
This fish is much larger than the fish that I see at the market.
Which emergency department would you like, sir?
I'll take this to, like, the FBI, maybe. Like, it's a really big fish.
It is completely true, isn't it, that, like, America has just gutted all services to the point that people just call the police about everything, right?
Oh, that's true.
Because who else would you call, right?
Which is why there's, like, all those stories of people having dash cam videos of cops just seeing, like, a wounded groundhog that someone has called them to because they didn't know what else to do, and they've just shot the groundhog in the head and then
pull out
it off.
A 457 Magnum and problem solved.
It's coming right at me. Quote, "We've checked on it, and it is doing normal sunfish activities," the department posted to Facebook. "It's swimming. It is not stranded or suffering. The sunfish is fine."
Capital letters,
all
fine.
All capital letters on fine. Emphasis theirs. Leave the fucking fish alone. Stop calling me about the fish. Sick of hearing about the fish. I don't think there's much going on in this town. Sunfish fins can sometimes be confused for sharks. Oh, no, you can call the police about that one. But the fish poses no harm to humans.
I feel like it does if you dropped one on someone.
Sure.
Like from a great height?
Oh, from a reasonable height.
Medium height. That's a really large fish.
If you dropped a sunfish on me from 2 feet above my head, I would still be in a lot of trouble.
I think if you gently placed it on my body, it would be in, like, a lot of trouble.
Really. All right,
we're lowering the sunfish now. Gently.
Just tipping it out of a wheelbarrow onto me, you know. Please stop calling the police department about this sunfish! ! The department emphasized in an all caps message.
Just answering the phone like, is this about the fucking sunfish?
All the lines are lighting up.
Swear to God.
Doing that fucking the comedy bit of just, like, picking up every single phone like it's 1980s switchboard at once, being like, yeah, it's a fish! It's not us! Slamming it down, picking up another one. It's just a fish!
Normal sunfish activities.
It's just living. It's just vibing. It's just existing in the moment.
Sunfish department, please hold. You are caller number 37 in the queue. Your sunfish sighting is important to us. Oh, man.
Oh, well, I'm glad he's doing good.
Yeah, just let him be. It's
let
so
him live.
Weird. Like sometimes when I go and see my parents at the coast, and I'll see, like, a stingray. Every now and then you see, like, a really big stingray, you know, and you go, ooh. And
that's a big stingray.
I do not get my phone out and immediately call the cops and go, I just saw a stingray that was, like, 6 feet across. I'm going to need assistance. I need someone with a gun. Can you send someone with a gun? Please. Not really sure how to segue into this one.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got any suggestions?
Well, you know what's really high in the sky? That's right. It's the sun.
The sun.
What else?
Mm.
You know what else is up there in that sky up there?
Planes.
This is your captain speaking. Please return your seats to their upright positions as we are coming in hot on another edition of Plainly Speaking.
Flawless.
Yes. That was amazing. You should be doing these segues.
Yeah. Should be, really. Thank you.
Might a bit of help. Might a bit of help every now and then, you know. Look,
not interested.
From the oceans to the skies to Europe, we're covering the whole world on this one. I'm pretty sure that those are the three parts of the world.
I had it covered.
Hey, why are you doing a second redundant segue?
Don't make me start reading out your headings, Ben.
Oh, do it.
This one says...
I feel like he worked really hard on them.
I really wanted to address the previous one, which is York voice, sunfish behavior. And I need to know what this sounds like.
What, to the tune of Human Behavior, the song.
Oh.
Really just throwing whatever together.
These are for me. And I really don't appreciate that I'm treated like this for doing them.
See, the funny thing is, you don't need to write them. You could just have the name of the segment, but instead we get a name like this.
No, I enjoy them.
This segment coming up, plainly speaking, not much, what's Mothman with you?
And see, that's a little laugh just for me. And that's a little giggle that I get to have.
It's a little treat for daddy.
It differentiates the stories because there'll be a lot of... You know, there could be multiple Plainly Speakings in there. There could be multiple major corners.
Yeah. The next one I'm very fond of. I'm excited to get to. Eyewitness report from the website UFO Clearinghouse.
Sounds very legit.
They've got too many UFOs on their hands. Come on down.
I got green aliens. I got grey aliens. I got the weird little goblin ones that no one's talked about since the 1970s.
We do not have a shop front. Online only.
We're like rivers. We don't do shit, and that's why everything's cheap.
Intergalactic shipping, very expensive.
You go in there, all the UFOs are still in their boxes.
You have to scan everything yourself.
So, this is from the reputable publication, UFO Clearinghouse. Witness has close proximity encounter with winged humanoid at Chicago O'Hare.
Mm.
I can tell you already it's going to be a jetpack guy, right?
Well, that's what you may think.
Mm.
Well, I like the structure of this. I'm enjoying the sort of very SCP vibe that they have to reporting this stuff.
It's very formal, and I have removed from this the like 2 pages worth of investigators' notes.
Yeah.
So this...
They went out and followed it up and everything.
Yeah.
Shall I?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the thing by talking about it anymore. Just go for it.
Date of reporting, October 3rd, 2020. Date of sighting, September 24th, 2020. Time of sighting, approximately 2300. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it
like they can combine those
11
two.
p.m. for anyone wondering.
There's no 11 p.m. for UFO Clearinghouse. They're not fucking around.
Oh, Theo, you were thinking that could have been a combined date time field?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Location, O'Hare International Airport, Chicago, Illinois. Witnesses, 1. I had just left work at the USPS sorting facility at O'Hare Airport at about 11 p.m. on Thursday the 24th of September. I was walking to my car when I saw something standing at the far end of the parking where I usually park.
Oh, hell yeah.
At first, I thought it was a very tall person with a long coat.
Mm-hmm.
As I got closer to my car, I unlocked my car, which caused my headlights to come on. My headlights hit the person standing about 20 to 25 feet from my car, causing it to turn and look right at me.
Jesus Christ.
I saw that this was not some person, but something red-eyed, and what appeared to be a coat were actually wings, which it spread out as it turned to look at me. At first, I thought it was some kind of very, very large bird.
What kind of bird, sir?
At first, I thought it was an albatross.
But I've never seen any bird that stood almost 7 feet tall.
Alright, ostrich, but it'll go off.
I'm 5'4", and this thing looked taller than me by at least 2 feet. This thing then started making some type of chirping sound, almost a half chirp and half click, like someone was clicking their tongue, but much, much faster. It then made some type of screeching sound and took off running toward me. It got to within 10 feet of me and took off into the air and flew above me.
In the parking lot?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. I was screaming hysterically as I crouched down behind car's open door and I dived into my car headfirst. I was in a near panic as I tried to start the car, close and lock the doors, and turn on my interior lights. I started my car and took off out of the parking lot and flew down the road till I hit the main road. I got home and told my husband, who also works at the same facility, and he was the one who told me about the sightings of this thing. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
So he's told you about the big winged Mothman before, and you were like, whatever. You don't believe it till it happens to you, you know.
That's what they say about Mothman.
I was scared shitless, and I hope I never see this thing again. This thing is roaming around the area, scaring people half to death. I hope the airport people decide to do something about this thing someday.
Hey, airport management, when are you going to solve the Mothman problem?
Yeah, hey, guy that runs O'Hare, what are you going to do about this fucking Mothman in the parking lot?
I have to send out an ornery old janitor to murk it with a flag.
Thank you for calling the Mothman sighting hotline. You are caller number 38 in the queue. Your Mothman sighting is important to us.
This Mothman is doing normal Mothman behavior.
It sounds like he is, though. Even, like, what does this Mothman do to you? He came towards you and flew off into the air and flew above you. Why are Absolutely. You being such a bitch about it?
She says, I was scared shitless, and I hope I never see this thing again. I would say, Mothman me once, shame on it. Mothman me twice.
I was trying to vibe in the car park.
If
and
this
you're-
was me...
You're flashing your high beams
on
him.
If this was you and you were in a car park and you were swooped by a Mothman, is that where you're starting this from?
Yeah, like, I would want to see this thing again.
Strong okay. pro-Mothman.
I want to see that Mothman. I want to ask him, is he single?
What that moth do, you know?
Hey, I also like hanging around airports because I'm a huge freak.
That's something in common.
You get a good view of the planes from up there? Or?
Yeah. How high are you going? How many feet?
They make you leave.
What's your cruising altitude, bro?
What's your cruising altitude?
What's your cruising altitude?
Anyway, RIP to Mothman sucked into the engine of a 737-800neo.
Oh, boy.
The ultimate bird strike.
From Mothman to Burning Man, it's time for Scale Watch. I just want to say, Ben, I really like the heading that you've given this one.
Yeah, the title, not for the listener, that's just for us, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yet, I will share it with them. The headline from The Guardian is, "We Are Meant to Gather. Organizers of Global Dance Festival refuse to cancel or give refunds." It's against my beliefs to cancel this festival or give anyone their money back. And Ben has titled this Yearning Man, and I love it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Hmm. Thousands of people from around the world are partying for 10 days in the middle of the Argentinian wilderness. And that sounds like an ambitious endeavor even before COVID-19. But a global pandemic has done little to sway organizers of the Global Eclipse Patagonia Gathering.
I would say that a festival never needs a subtitle.
Well, I think the nature of this festival is that Global Eclipse happens all over the world, and this is specifically the Patagonia one.
Patagonia Gathering.
Hmm.
Then you call it the Patagonian Global Eclipse Watching Festival, you know? Don't string it out. They are determined to charge ahead and refusing to refund ticket holders. Despite Argentina nearing 1 million COVID-19 cases.
Oof.
Wow. And
That's
authorities...
Right. Holy shit.
Currently refusing to let international tourists into the country, the electronic dance music, parentheses, EDM, trance festival, yuck.
Oh.
Oh. So it's sort of more like a gurning man.
Yeah, you could say that.
What with the drugs and...
Yeah, and that's different to regular Burning Man.
The trance festival is still scheduled for December 2020. The event has been in the works for 3 years. Oh, you just had to find, you know, fucking 72 hours worth of trance songs that didn't all sound like each other. With a huge number of fans purchasing tickets before COVID-19. Well, that's the best time to buy them.
Yeah. You feel... I feel like if you purchase it afterwards, you deserve...
Feel like a fool.
Yeah.
Organisers are refusing to provide refunds on the grounds that the festival has not been cancelled. Despite there being no way for the vast majority of ticket holders, including those in Australia, to attend.
It's rules. Sorry, hey, this is awesome.
Got him.
Well, I didn't cancel. It's not my fault the airport's cancelled. The concert's not cancelled.
If you really want to go.
That's right. The event in the category of world famous festivals such as Burning Man or Rainbow Serpent.
Wouldn't call that world famous, but go off.
Just some little local references for you there. Promised unrivaled views of the 14 December solar eclipse and an experience full of art, music, educational workshops, yoga, dance, permaculture, and myriad opportunities to inspire the soul and enliven the spirit.
It's just my worst nightmare in one sentence.
Mm-hmm. You hate you know permaculture.
If I was doing acid at a festival and a solar eclipse happened, I would stare straight at that thing for so long.
Mm.
That, to me, is probably the most dangerous time you could possibly be around a solar eclipse.
It's true.
Who's going to stop you? You know? They're all going to be looking at it, too. Remember when Donald Trump looked at that eclipse? That was pretty good.
Just, like, staring up, giving a thumbs up.
Everyone was like, sir, no. Melbourne idiot Billy Caldwell booked a nearly $700 ticket on a payment plan in January as a treat.
Oh, that's a little treat.
Damn it.
Just a little treat for you.
After working 3 years without a break. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely one of the biggest events to happen. Can we just think about that sentence?
It's one of the biggest events to happen. Think of all the events that have happened. It's one of the biggest.
You can take drugs anywhere you like.
You can take drugs in your living room and you will have a tremendous time.
It's really not going to make a big difference for
you. Drugs are just good. That's kind of like the thing they have going for them.
Yeah.
Watch a video of a solar eclipse on the laptop where it can't burn your retinas.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
That's smart.
Hmm. Eclipse festivals only happen every 4 years, and there is a lot of hype around it. It's like you kind of have to go at least once, she said incorrectly.
You don't.
Do you, Billy?
Do you? It was all good until the pandemic hit. I was like, I don't know if I should cancel my payment plan, because if I do, I can't get a refund, she said. I would email them and... it's better off to pay off the whole payment plan and then not get a refund. I would email them and comment on their social posts, and they just wouldn't reply. Caldwell assumed the festival would be quickly cancelled, so continued paying for her ticket. Why?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No I assume problem. This is not going to happen, so I'm just going to continue placing money into this pit.
The big old money.
Need that money.
But on 26th of August, after months of silence from organisers, they announced that the Patagonian party would go ahead. Baller. Instead of full refunds, organisers Global Eclipse Incorporated and Global Eclipse Argentina have offered a, quote, buyback program, where customers are able to receive 50% of their ticket price, along with the cost of any accommodation and parking passes, in exchange for signing a legal document that will release the organisers from liability in regards to the Patagonia gathering.
So they know they're going to get sued, and they're like, what if you buy 50% of your way out of this?
You have half of your money back if you agree to fuck off forever. Caldwell said she feels this isn't good enough. You have the right to receive goods or services to the standards that are expected to be delivered. It's basically impossible to do that. If we're not able to go to Argentina and to go to a festival, I feel like we should be entitled to a free 100% refund, she said. Caldwell did receive a short personalized response email from the company on 7th of September advising her of when the buyback program would end.
Hope this helps.
New South Wales resident Mel, who asked for her last name to not be included, slightly less of a dummy.
Great. choice, Mel.
Fucking love people putting themselves on record in the papers, being like, hey, I just throw my money in a toilet.
Here's my real name. I'm a fucking idiot. Would you like to look me up on social media?
Can you guys do anything about that? She said she was shocked by this situation that has unfolded in the EDM hippie subculture. This isn't the community you would expect a result like this from, man. You would expect this from a really corporate standpoint, man. Right.
Not like all EDM festivals. Yeah. So non-corporate.
I wouldn't expect this from some pure non-corporate festival like Burning Man. Fucking hell. What part of this do you think is actually still going to be realized? It's not going to happen, she said. The organizers are associated with a number of other successful trance festivals, including the annual Symbiosis Gathering in California and multiple Eclipse Gatherings in Australia.
Hang on. If they're doing them in Australia, why the fuck do you have to go to Argentina if
you
it's like
don't.
A once...
Argentina's very nice, though.
I've heard. It's probably beautiful.
Great barbecue.
Yep.
In the email sent to ticket holders in August, viewed by a Guardian Australia, Global Eclipse Incorporated said they were unable to provide full refunds.
We already spent that money, so yeah. What are you going to do?
We are unable to provide full refunds on account of we really don't want to.
We don't want to.
Quote, we've had requests to refund the money, with scare quotes around it. But it's not possible to retrieve sunk costs for labor, and niche physical assets are not easy to sell in the downtrodden Argentine economy, the email read. Humans are social beings. Isolation has taken a toll on all of us. Mm. We are meant to connect. We are meant to gather.
I mean, probably not during a pandemic that a country is, you know, being devastated by.
With a million cases... We plan to do it safely in the best way possible. And what's safer than a big festival with no attendees?
That you still got money for.
Mm-hmm.
One DJ up there in a mask.
I'm sorry to say that this is king shit.
Oh, I agree. This is a good scam. I hate to say it. I have to say, if I was the person who had bought a ticket to a thing and they were just like, oh, no, it's totally still doing it, dumbass. I'd be so mad. I'd be incredibly red-faced and nude. But...
I would never buy a ticket to a festival such as this for $700.
Not specifically this festival. Come on. Quote, we are producers with decades of experience who are 2.5 years into a 3-year project, and we've learned to prepare for permutations of earth, wind, and fire. But
great
none
band.
Of us had global pandemic on our 2020 bingo card.
I don't ever want to hear the phrase 2020 bingo card again ever in my entire
it's
fucking life.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's a weird year. We all fucking know. We're living in it. We're all doing it.
As usual, we're all just better off to not talk about it.
Just bury that shit deep, deep inside.
Deep down inside, as far as it goes. The company noted in another email that ticket sales were, quote, final, no refund passes for a rain or shine event.
So, it's- when they say that they've prepared for permutations of earth, wind, and fire, but not for global pandemic, what they mean is that they've prepared to not give refunds if it's, like, flooding or raining, but they hadn't prepared to not give refunds for a global pandemic, and they're really just sort of making this up as they go along.
They've had to adapt.
Had to adapt and say, we're not giving refunds to, and they check their notes, global pandemic sufferers. You can't have it.
Mel says, it's not like we were scared of the rain. World events have created a situation where we can't do this and neither can you. I don't feel like they should be making people feel responsible for their loss. We're all at a loss. Yeah, you're $700 fucking dollars in the hole. And you probably bought a plane ticket to Argentina. God damn. Caldwell and Mel both opted not to proceed with the buyback program. Instead, Caldwell lodged a dispute with her bank the day the buyback scheme was announced, but has not heard back.
Great.
One of the chief complaints among potential attendees is the lack of transparency regarding the current state of the festival. Despite the event now being less than 2 months away, Guardian Australia was unable to find a publicly available list of artists booked to play.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. If it is happening, where's the lineup? What's the plan? And it's almost like they've gone silent, Mel said.
Almost.
Those who still wish to attend have been asked to sign a, quote, attendance waiver.
Oh, that's what you want.
If you die of COVID, not our fault.
Not our problem.
Nobody's nerfed.
With one of the highest infection rates in the world, a death toll of over 25,000, and a fragile economy, Argentina is already feeling the strain without the risk of potentially infectious foreigners attending the festival. I don't think it would be ethical for wealthy Westerners to be potentially taking coronavirus to vulnerable places, Mel said. Argentinians have also been subject to one of the longest and strictest lockdowns in the world, with regular internal flights set to resume for the first time since March this week. Social gatherings have been periodically banned and a huge number of major events cancelled in order to curb the virus's spread. The event is being held now near the small town of Las Coloradas, which has a population of under 1,000 and is 4 hours from the nearest major city.
Jesus.
The festival's website also boasts about the site's lack of mobile reception, raising questions on how effective communication would be in the event of an outbreak. In an email, the organizers note, the site is ready to host thousands of safely distanced people by simply making sure they cannot attend.
Yes, we're ready for them to not be here.
In an email, the organizers note the thing I just said. Caldwell said this decision made her doubt the company's philosophy. I think it really brings to light the question of their integrity and how much they actually do care about their attendees if you're putting people at risk like this, the idiot said. That's some real dumbass stuff right there. Lisa Spagnolo, an expert in international commercial law from Monash University, said if the festival does go ahead, it's unlikely ticket holders will be eligible for a refund.
Really?
She said documents such as the buyback contract are common in the legal field and are a form of settlement payment used to end a disputed claim.
Right.
But not all members of the EDM community are upset with Global Eclipse Incorporated. Some, like Yuri Shamis, were happy to let the company use the other 50% of their ticket fee to cover sunk costs. Quote, I can only imagine the amount of effort that has gone into putting on a festival like that, Shamis said. I know their heart is always in it, and I know they didn't set out to screw anyone over. I don't feel like there has been any moral wrongdoing. Oh, very good. Well, good luck. Good luck,
good luck to you all.
Trans-loving dipshits of the world.
This week's Crime Pass, it is okay to scam a white person with dreadlocks.
At any time. That's a standing crime pass.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for us, folks. That's all we've got time for this week. Kisses from us onto each one of you in sequence. Please start lining up. Make an orderly queue. We want proper social distancing.
No, I don't. I'm going to blast particles all over all you.
Don't worry, though. I will swirl a big mouthful of like disinfectant after each kiss. So you don't have to worry about nothing. We are responsible. Not like the organizers of Argentinian trans eclipse festivals.
Mm.
That's it, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.